Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Christ Today. Today we have with us Fred Cox, a man with many godly experiences in life, and so we're going to have a fun day today. Welcome, Fred.
Well, thank you, John. It's really good to be here. You know, the Lord opened the door for me to be here with you, my brother, and all my brothers out there in the world. I've had great experiences with the Lord through my whole life. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And he's always with me. He promised me that, and it is true. He's delivered me out of a lot of troubles and everything that the world, just living in this world, has got me into, and God got me out every time. I've got a cousin that said, Fred, I don't understand. He says, anybody like you, because he says, you can fall into a back house and come out smelling like a rose.
Oh.
And the only reason for that is because I'm hooked to the Rose of Sharon. I am Fred Cox. I live in Paradise, California. I've been doing ministry for many years. I go out to the highways and the byways to tell people about my God and my Savior. Every opportunity I get, I do not pass it by to introduce someone or anyone to the Lord of Lords, my Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Very good.
God opened a door for me to come and speak on the radio broadcasting station, KKXX, in Chico, California. God opens doors that no one can shut, and God closes doors that no one can open. God is in control of everything in heaven and on earth, and in control of every one of your lives out there. God loves you with a love that can never be beat by anybody else.
Amen.
He is God.
Yes.
So because he is in control of everything in heaven and on earth and all the star system of the universe, I have been blessed with 5 children. I met my wife when she was 13, and I was 3 years older than her. I was at the age of 16. Can you believe that? 16 years old, wanting to get married, and she was only 13?
Yeah.
And I didn't see nothing wrong with that because I was so green, the water was running out of me. I wanted to marry her at that age, but we were too young. So we just went together for 2 years and wanted to get married. We were still too young, so my father-in-law and mother-in-law put us in a brand new 1954 Chevrolet and drove us to Yuma, Arizona. They said because we were so young, it would never last. Well, my wife and I fooled them. Yeah, boy, did we fool them. We've been married now for 64 years. Uh-huh. I thank God for my wife and my family of 5 children. 2 sons and 2 daughters, and our grandson that we raised. My youngest son is the pastor at City Lights Church in Chico, California, on Cohasset Street. My elder son lives in Orland, California. He does the music leading. He is the music minister at City Lights. He can play different instruments. He is very talented. He is also one of the elders in the church. My 2 daughters also love the Lord. I am very proud of them also. My grandson that I raised lives in Texas and is a pipe fitter and has 3 children. My wife and I have 54 grandchildren. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. Oh, my precious God, you have blessed me all my life. I've never wanted for nothing because I've always depended on you. Thank you. Well,
yes.
Here it goes. The story of why I was born. Do you know the story of why you were born? Well, the answer to that is with all of us. It was to glorify God. I would like to begin this story of why I was born of different situations and certain happenings in my life. First of all, by giving praise to my God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I would like to go into prayer and speak to my Father. He said that He would never leave us or forsake us. And even though I am speaking to you out in Radio Land, I never want to leave Him or forsake Him.
Amen.
God tells us that wherever you go, I want to go. And wherever I go, I want you to be there, Heavenly Father. And if you will never leave me, the very gates of hell cannot prevail against me. You are my salvation. You have delivered me from every trouble that would ever come upon me. I am sealed in God,
yes. And
the very gates of hell cannot prevail against that. You have protected me from all harm, all my life. Thank you, Father. I always want to recognize you and never leave your presence. Father God, thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and having a mission for Him to do and complete. His mission was to go to the cross as a sacrifice for me and the whole world, to take away the sin that Adam committed, to set us free and reconcile us back to God in good standing. Praise your holy name.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I couldn't pay the price. No, in no way could I ever pay the price. There's not enough gold or money in the world to pay the cost because of the sin that Adam and Eve committed and brought me into it in order to reconcile me back to a loving God. But you, dear Lord, paid the cost for us by giving your life for our life so that we could live forever with you. The price you paid was so spectacular that it boggles my mind. It's overwhelming. God, you said, vengeance is mine. But instead of punishing us, God, you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, to pay the penalty for what Adam has caused, that we inherited. We all deserve hell, but your Son, in whom you are well pleased, paid the supreme sacrifice with His blood. We are healed by His stripes.
Yes.
The wounds that was inflicted in His flesh not only restored my spirit, but my flesh, allowing it to become the very temple of God. I died. I no longer live in the lineage of Adam or myself or self-centeredness, but Christ lives in me. God, you sent your Son to take away the sin of the world that separated us from you, our Creator, the one who created us in the beginning in the image of God. That's why you made the statement, come back to your first love. Forgive us, Father, for loving the darkness more than the light. The light has come into the world, but the darkness could not comprehend it or understand it. Forgive us for that. Thank you, Father, for your patience that shows, Father, that we must be like you, true sons of God. Patience is a man's virtue. Goodness, virtuousness, righteousness, morality, integrity, dignity, honor, decency, respectability, nobility, worthiness, purity. If anyone says God didn't come in the flesh to do all of this, let him be a liar. To restore us back to God, actually become part of the very deity of God. True children of God, you brought new life to us. Not only so, but you are our life. I no longer live, dear Lord, but you live in me. You are my conduct. You are my love. And you are my very life for me to comprehend and live and walk in. You came to give me new life. And because of that, you, oh, my mighty, powerful God, has allowed me to become a new creature, a new creation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone have been renewed in my mind with your Son's mind. I am reborn. Thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for loving me when I did not deserve it. Praise your beautiful name. Amen.
Yes, and amen. Our Lord, our God, loves us so, and He created us, and here we are.
Well, John, my story, when my father, God, brought me to life in the year 1936, my Heavenly Father, who knew me before the foundations of the world, can you imagine that? Before the foundations of the world, God loved me. If he loved me all them millions and trillions of years, because there's no end to God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yes.
He decided to form me in my mother's womb. Scriptures, Psalms 139:13, Jeremiah 1:5, and Galatians 1:15. When we read Psalms 139:13, we will find in there that you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb before the world was framed. My God, my holy God, you knew who I was. I was actually known and was in the mind of God from eternity to eternity, because you, my God, are from eternity to eternity. Everlasting God, you, God, are eternal. Thank you, Father, for thinking of me and loving me all those billions of years. 1,000 years is like to one day, and one day is likened to 1,000 years. There is no time with God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of everything. The beginning and the end of everything, yes. All those millions of eons of years. Eons goes back to the Greek, aeon, which means age. And age is not easy to measure, and neither is an eon. Both are just really long periods of time. But in science, an eon is about 1 billion years. After all that time, you decided to make me a reality, just as you did everyone else in this world. You are no respecter of persons, Lord. These things that happen to me isn't just me trying to brag about who I am, but I'm bragging about who you are out there, my brothers and sisters, because God is no respecter of persons. He created each and every one of us in the same manner, and he also knew you before the frames of the world. You said, Lord, there is a time for everything. What a mighty and wonderful loving God that you are. Thank you for my parents. They were loving parents. Thank you, Father, for making me part of your household and spiritual family because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I believe, like Paul in Scripture, the only thing that I am going to preach is Christ crucified. It's all through your Son, Jesus Christ, and nobody else. He is the victorious one. By his stripes, and only by his stripes, we were healed of all my infirmities, physical or mental weaknesses, disease, sickness, frailty, and affections. God, you have accomplished it all to recreate us, your family, into a spiritual and heavenly family. What a wonderful and mighty God. I want to praise you again, Lord. I can't quit praising you. From the time that I get out of my bed and my feet hits the floor, I can't wait to get into the very Word of God in order to find more about my Father and learn more about you. When you tell me that we can go into the Spirit of God as far as we want, and there's no law that can hold us back. There's no gravitational pull in this world that can hold us back, because he cut off all the gravitational pull, and we can mount up as wings of an eagle, Lord, and fly into the heavenlies, because right now the people has died and went to heaven has not preceded us, because we're in Christ and Jesus is in heaven. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right at this moment, being true sons of God. There is nothing that is created that you did not create. When Father God decided to create me and make me a reality, this was during World War II involving Germany and Japan. It was a hard time to try to make ends meet back in the 30s and the 40s, or even to survive and make a living. It was during the Depression, during the 1930s and the 40s. I was born in a small house in the foothills of Eagle Rock, California. Mm-hmm. Eagle Rock is a neighborhood of northeast Los Angeles and the San Rafael Hills, Los Angeles County, California. Eagle Rock is named after a large rock outcropping resembling an eagle, with its wings. Eventually, after a very hard labor, I was born. But something went very wrong. When I suddenly appeared, the navel cord was wrapped around my neck and strangled me while I was still in the womb. The doctor at that time pronounced me dead. Yes, I was born dead. I mean really, literally dead. Mm. It was the foresight of the grace and love of God that brought me to life. God had a reason for me to be born in this world. He saw in the future my wife, our children, my grandsons, so far, which is 54 grandchildren. As grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. That's a sixth generation. My sons and grandsons had a future. And when God showed up, the enemy runs. Satan did not want me to live, but God had other plans for me. Millions and millions of years ago, when I was in the very mind of God. And that is for you and all the rest of us. There is a reason for every one of us for being here, and that is to glorify God. When God steps in, everything that's not of God steps out. I want to talk about freedom. In Galatians 4:1-5, freedom from the bondage of the law and sin. Galatians 4:1. Now, this is scriptures that I'm reading, and you can't go against the Word of God.
Right.
Even Satan himself can't go against the Word of God.
Right.
When you start speaking the Word of God, Satan cringes up like a dead leaf, and he runs. Because the Word of God that is in us caused him to put his tail between his legs, and he runs. He can't stand to be wherever the Word of God is.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, when we even write about the Word of God, and like I do, night after night, we actually become the penman, or become the very pen of God. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Under the law, we were just children, but now that Jesus Christ came, we become the true sons of God. Oh my goodness, people out there. You know, when John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan, and Jesus came up and he saw Jesus coming from a distance. He told the Lord that, and he told the people around him, this is the one that was promised to come. And I recognize who he is. I'm not even fit to tie his shoelaces. Because the baptism of John was to be pardoned and excused for the sins that we have committed. But in Jesus Christ, that was only a shadow of the things to come. But the reason why he said that he wouldn't even fit to tie his shoelaces, because when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into the one that actually come and took away the very sin of the world, so that we wouldn't have to be baptized and forgiven for sins every time we turn around. He took the sins of the world away and set us free. So when we were children, were in bondage and under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the Son of God and become sons of God. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Lord says that when you come to him, that he would take that heart of sin out, that he would do an operation on us like he did with Adam and Eve and took a rib out of Adam and created Eve. He's the great physician, and he will put a new heart of flesh in us that can't sin, which is the very heart of God. It says David had the heart of God. This transaction happened actually with David, and after that it said he never sinned again. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods, idolatry, worship of idols. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage of sin and being ruled and governed by your flesh? Greater is he that is in you now than he that is in the world, the fleshly, carnality, and carnal part of us. We have been transformed out of the lineage of Adam into the very lineage of Jesus Christ, transformed and conformed back into the very image of God, recreated, become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Under the control of the kingdom of Satan, you observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, Paul says, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are, have not inquired me at all. You know how through all the infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation was in my flesh. You despised not, nor yet rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Why have you turned from me? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When we go out into the world and tell people the truth, or even Christians that has not received the true truth, have we actually become their enemy because we tell them the truth? Because we go by the doctrine of Jesus Christ instead of the doctrine of man, and not comparing each other with each other, but comparing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. They zealously affect you, but not well. They can't affect us well. Yes, they would exclude you, that you might affect them with the truth, with the righteousness of Christ. But it is good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing. And not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It was like Paul having a delivery of a child. He was in pain and he loved us that much, Paul did, until we are born again. He goes through all this travailing pain for us. This is the way we should be with each other out there in the world. Each one of our brothers that's going down the highway, going down the freeway, and no matter what they say to you, if they get angry with you and everything, you have to look at them as a brother, because each one of us and every one of us was created in the image of God. We're related. We wouldn't talk to our relation that way, and neither should we talk to our related brothers that way. That was completely created in the image of God. We're not separated from one another. We all came from the lineage of Adam, clear down through the lineage of Moses, when God cleaned up the world by the great flood. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, because they thought that he was a coward because he would write letters and would have a tone of voice that would correct them, but when he was in public, he used a nice voice. But he says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Anybody that's still in the flesh that presumes to be saved again belongs to the bondwoman, not to the free woman. But he of the free woman was by promise. We have the promise that we are the children of Abraham, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which entereth the bondage, which is Agar, For this Agar is Mount Sinai and Arabia, and Astra to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. We don't want to be part of that, brothers and sisters out there. But Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, God says that when his Holy Spirit was poured upon the world and everybody would receive that, that all of Jerusalem would be saved. But he's not talking about Jerusalem in Jerusalem. He's talking about the new Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. We are free, the new Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Adam and Eve. Eve was our mother at one time and was the one that was the reason why we was all born. So she was the mother of us all. The new Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all, not Eve. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, you that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Mm-hmm. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of that promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him as born after the spirit, even so it is now. So when we become a Christian, we're going to have things come up with other brothers. And because we don't believe the way they do, because a lot of them believe that we're still sinners and in the world, we haven't been transformed and conformed until we get to heaven. We're going to have tribulations everywhere, and we're going to be persecuted. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and the son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Yeah. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Now, John?
Yes. We have so many things going on in our world, and we seek to know God through Jesus Christ ever the more fully and thoroughly, and we thank God for all the love that he gives us, all the grace that he gives us. It is just a wonderful, wonderful, well, it's a blessing. It's God's blessing, and we are thankful for life and all the system of blessing that he's given us. So, Fred, you have had so many experiences in life, and this is where it's all led to your full relationship of God. And this is what you live every day.
Well, John, I want to tell you where it all started. It started with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the beginning of the end of everything that started. He's the finisher of it. He says, once I started working you, I will finish it. And I am able to take you clear to the end. We don't have anything to do with it. It's no merit of our own. It's not by our might or by our power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So he's in control of everything in heaven. See, all of his body down here on earth, all over the world, is his body. It's his body.
Yes.
And we're all joined together like a human body with all the different organs in it and everything. You might be the heart. I might be the gallbladder. Somebody else might be the lung. But the body of Christ, with all these different parts added together, is all joined together that makes up that perfect body, which is the very body of Christ. We're not an organization, we're an organism.
Very good.
We're an individual member of the very body of Christ. And only Jesus Christ made that possible. Like Paul said, you can preach whatever you want to preach, but the only thing I'm going to preach is Christ crucified, because it was all about the cross. It was all about him going and taking all of this different ways of thinking and all the Jewish ways of thinking and all these different types of people, and you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe, that cause different kinds of ways of going and different ways of traveling and never coming together in the fullness of God and becoming one in our understanding. God says we're to believe the same things and be in one accord and love one another. And those same things isn't a certain denomination. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to a certain church and having a pastor that you're more fond of than some other pastor, because God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be.
That love is such an important thing. That is the one element of life that of our spiritual relationship. God loves us, and it is evident from God, and it is evident as we go through our Christian life. And one of the things that we are to be so faithful in giving that love.
Yes, because once we freely receive that love, then it's up to us to freely give it and not to hold it back. God talks about the 10 talents, that he gave the 10 talents to these laborers and servants that he had. And he went in a far country. And one of the servants knew that he was a hard master. And he hid the talents under a rock and didn't do anything with it. He didn't earn any interest on it. But the other nine took some, had 10-fold, 20-fold, 30-fold, even 100-fold that they have earned the interest on. And when the servant came back and he said, what to the servant that hid it under the rock, where's the interest of the talent that I gave you? And he says, I knew that you was a hard master, and I was afraid that I wouldn't do the right thing with it, so I hid it under a rock. He says, oh, wretched man that you are, that the thing that I freely gave you, you didn't freely give to somebody else. The same way that my son came and gave his life for you. We're to demonstrate Jesus Christ, not a human being, but demonstrate Jesus Christ. And so the other ones that earned interest on that talent, he told the one that hid the one under the rock, he told him that I will take this talent from you and double the talents of the other one and give it to them because they deserve this talent and you don't. Oh, wretched man that you are. Anything that we get from God, if we go to church and we just sit on the pew and warm the seats and get all this information and then take it home and forget about it and just sit on it like a hen does her eggs and waiting for something to hatch, it's never going to happen.
That's a good example. That's a wonderful example.
So what we're supposed to do when we go, I mean, our ministers, a pastor works so hard to bring the truth to our ears. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He says that my sheep only hear my voice. They won't listen to some other. And if we only hear his voice and go back out in the world and don't listen to the other, then that's going to stay on our mind. We won't forget it. We're going to take that and freely give it to somebody else because he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, I love my neighbors as I love myself because I don't want to miss heaven and I don't want them to miss heaven. So I go out and I expound the gospel and try to give it to them because I don't want them to miss heaven any more than I would. God, give me the love that you had when you came down here from heaven. The same way we go to our neighbor, you came down from heaven and came to us because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's one of my favorite parts to the gospel, is that the different messages of love, that's right in there. And there's the commandment of Christ, which was to love one another as I have loved you. What a thing to say and grasp the significance of that. We're to love each other with that same love, sacrificial love.
Yes, we're to pick up our cross and follow him.
Yeah.
And brothers and sisters out there, if we're going to pick up our cross, that involves a lot of suffering. Yeah. It involves a lot of pain, a lot of agony, because of what we have to deal with in this world.
And yet it's satisfying. Don't forget that part. We are satisfied and it's a reward for us. We feel it as we live.
God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
And once we receive, we're to freely give. He loves a cheerful giver that goes out and expounds on his word and try to bring the world and back and to reconciliation into our Father, our Lord, our God Almighty. So, once we're born again, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be, or you can never inherit the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus says and answered him, and he was kind of arguing with the Lord. He was debating with him. And he says, I am old. I am feeble. How can I enter back to my mother's womb? That's impossible, and be born again. He says, Nicodemus, are you not a ruler of the Jews and not know these things? Of course, you can't do that. But what I'm trying to tell you, that whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Yeah. And whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Mm-hmm. The contrast of the two is as far as the east is from the west. And the way God thinks and the way we think as an unborn person is as far as the east is from the west. In order to be renewed in the mind of Christ, you have to receive the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit comes into us and brings the very power of God down into us as a vessel. We become an artesian well. You know what an artesian well is? Mm. It's a well that the water runs from the highlands and runs all down through the mountains and comes up in the valley on its own reconnaissance and flows up out of the ground. Well, when we become an artesian well, Satan can try to push anything in that because it's so powerful. Think of an artesian well coming down out of the mountains on its own reconnaissance and just bubbling them up out of the ground, maybe 2 or 3 feet high. But Think of the Holy Spirit, which is the water of life that comes down from heaven and flows down through us because we're nothing but dust like the earth and comes and flows up out of us like a great, think of the force of that as running down from heaven. It's more forceful and powerful than Niagara Falls. And it comes up out of us, and the very gates of hell that tries to put junk in there that is of the world, it spews it out instantly. It just spews it out. And we become like a trash container that's full of fire and burning. And as soon as Satan tries to put trash in there, it consumes it. It can't get in because we become a flaming fire because God is a consuming fire. And because God is consuming fire, he is like the sun, the consuming fire of the sun. And we are become the very rays that comes out of the sun. This is what Jesus Christ did when he bridged the gap between us and Satan and the flesh and sin and Satan. He became the bridge, the transformation. Form us and conform us that we could go over that bridge and come in through Jesus, the purifier, and be settled in our and the remedy for all our sins that we have committed in the past. And to be our very lives to be transformed and conformed because of this. Not anything we did, but Jesus Christ is our purifier. He's the purifier. He's the door. He's the way. There is no other way. It's Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other right. There's no wrong in him. There's only right. He is the truth and the way. There is no other way.
Glory to God, and glory to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. It is amazing the love that we have through Jesus. We have hope. We have love and hope in this life and for eternity. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We glory in it, and we share that love, that hope, with the other people.
Yes. You see, fellow brothers out there, we got to understand that we can accept Jesus as our Lord.
Yes.
But if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. But before we can accept him as our Lord, we first have to accept him as our Savior. If he isn't our Savior, then he can't be our Lord. Mm-hmm. And what he has saved us from is all the elements of this world. Because he tells us that we're to be in this world, but not of this world. That we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ has to prove his love for his Father, when he went to the cross. He says, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. When he was lifted up on that cross, he's the one that invented gravitational pull. The very gravitational pull that pulled Adam into that sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. I do what I want to, don't want to do, and what I want to do, I can't do. Who's going to deliver me from this dilemma? It's not that Adam was an old wretched man. He was a righteous man. It wasn't his fault. He had no innate ability to do anything else but to be pulled in to this sin because of the gravitational pull was so strong that he could not fight it. He could not go against it. It'd be like trying to jump up in the air and fly like an eagle, but the gravitational pull of this earth would just instantly pull you back down. You just can't get off the ground. That's where Paul was. So Paul was looking within himself. And when he looked within himself, and he looked down deep into himself, he saw something that was separated from himself. And that was the very lineage of Adam within him. That is why he said, he wasn't looking at himself when he said, oh, wretched man that I am. But he was looking at Adam, oh, wretched man that I am, that caused all this sin and all this terribleness that came from Adam to force Paul to do what he didn't want to do. So what Paul had to do and what he had to learn, like the rest of us have to do and what we have to learn, is to start looking on the outside of us. It's no merit of our own. We can't get rid of the Adam in us. We can try and try and try and fail and fail and fail because sin isn't our stumbling block now because he came and took that away. It's Jesus Christ's righteousness that is our stumbling block now. We actually stumble over Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he is so righteous. It says because he took our sin away. That people claim that he didn't do that, but he did. He said he come to take away the sin of the world. Did he do it or didn't he do it? Yes, he did.
Of course he did.
And because he came to take our sin away, that gravitational pull that was in Jesus Christ, the one that invented gravitation, before Satan ever thought of it, when he was lifted up on that cross, the gravitational pull of God, if we be raised up with Christ on that cross, then that gravitational pull actually lifted up all of our sin up out of us and put on Jesus Christ that had no sin and put it to death for us. So that's what it means by pick up your cross and follow him, because everything he did for us has already been done. We don't have to do anything. His yoke is easy. His burden is light because he's done it all. And then once we are raised up with him through our faith, faith alone can save us. And Paul says, show me your works by your faith, and I'll show you faith by your works. So if we got the faith that God, that Jesus Christ had, not the faith of a human being, but when we become individual members of the very body of God, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and be renewed in our minds, then we receive the very flesh, the very faith of Jesus Christ himself. We are no more carnal. We become a spiritual being. We are identified and become part of the very deity of God, true sons of God, true daughters of God. You got to understand this, that we have been born again into the very Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has come into us, and our spirit and his spirit has come together and joined together like a marriage. And that marriage makes us whiter than snow. And God isn't coming back for a bride that has spots and blemishes all over it. God's coming back for a bride that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has cleansed up and made us ready for God when he comes to get his children and take us to heaven. We're to be without spot or blemish or wrinkle. and we're to be adorned as a bride for her husband. So when Jesus comes to get us, we're not going to be ashamed, because when he sees us, because our bridal gown has got dirt all over from sin and spotted by sin, but we have been purified and become as white as snow in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ told us that if you believe in me, that though your sins be scarlet red, that they will become as white as snow.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? White as snow. And so what is scarlet red? Do you know what that is out there? Scarlet red? Scarlet red is a stain. Where's that stain come from? The stain of sin that he's talking about here. The stain of sin. Where's that stain of sin come from? So if we use the analogy and go back 2,000 years ago, that scarlet red, that stain, came from a little coca worm, C-O-C-A, that come out of the Lebanese oak tree. And what the Jews did, they would harvest these worms, and then they would lay them out on big white sheets and let them dry in the sun, and then they was kind of transparent, and then they would become kind of a yellow and then a brown, and then they would turn to a scarlet red. And the Jews would take and grind them all up and put them in big vats and store them. And they had places where they would dye their woolens in. And when they dyed their woolens, they would mix the stain in with the water. And when they put the woolens in it, it would stain it a bright scarlet red. But you got to understand, he used the analogy that even the nature itself can't take the stain of sin out. It can't take the stain of sin out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though God is even over nature, when he said, waters, peace be still, and it came like a mirror. Nature can't take the stain of sin out. Nobody, only Jesus Christ did on the cross with his precious blood, could take the stain of sin out. So whenever these scarlet red robes were out in the sun, then sooner or later they would start decreasing in their color, and the stain would start to take the stain out, and they would fade out. Just like if you wear a red t-shirt or something eventually and wash it, the stain, that red would be dissolving and wouldn't be as bright as it was when you first bought it. But God made another analogy. Even if your sins are scarlet red, they'll become as white as wool. Well, what does that mean? That means that scarlet red is a deeper stain. Crimson red is a deeper stain than the color, scarlet red. And so, where did this come from? It came from the sea. It came from a little sea creature in the sea. And they used to take these little creatures and do the same process as they did the coca worm.
Mm.
And then it would turn not to a scarlet red, but to a crimson red. And this red was such a deep red that even nature itself couldn't take the color out. That's how deep the stain of sin is. Crimson red. Even if it's crimson red, it'll become as white as wool because of Christ going to the cross and taking away the sin of the world. So what is crimson red? Well, the analogy of that is that we are his sheep. And it says in there that even if it's crimson red, my sheep, that this crimson red has been applied to the woolen, God has taken that away. And he is our master, he is our creator, he is our savior, and our Lord, the one that took away this sin. And he says, even though that crimson red has been applied to the woolen, Jesus Christ went to the cross and took that stain away as if that stain never had been applied to the woolen. He has set us free. Now, Paul said, now, once I have been set free, I couldn't do it. Jesus did it. But praise God that he did it. I didn't do it. Now that he set me free from sin, that gravitational pull that bring me into that sin, he has taken it away. He has set me free. Now I can worship God the way I really want to. It set Paul free. And if Paul made the statement in the Bible, if anybody says now that I live by the flesh and the flesh runs me, they lie, because that's not what happens. God has set me free. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Yes.
And I become, I have a new habitat, which is in heaven. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, like I said, like Paul did. And he's the head of everything in heaven. He's in control of everything in heaven and everything on earth. His body is all over the world. And Jesus sits on the throne, is in control of heaven and everything all over the world. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We're to be renewed in the mind with the mind of Christ. Now that we have the mind of Christ, our head, our mind sits in heaven and his body's on earth, but the head is never separated from the body. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So now I become an instrument of God. When my brain and my physical body tells me to pick up a hammer, my arm picks up the hammer. When he says, run and get out of the way, there's danger, my body runs and gets out of the way. When the mind of Christ says, do this or do that, my body reacts to that and is faithful to react to that, because if we don't react to it, it could be sudden death and destruction for us. This is why Jesus told us that we're to be renewed in our minds with the very mind of Christ in order to control this body that wants to be out of control, because greater is he, the very mind of God. And the very mind of God, and to be renewed in the mind of God. So being renewed in the mind of God, it means that our whole inside being has been restored and being renewed with the very body of God. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and been renewed with his mind. We become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We no longer live, like I said, but Christ lives in me and lives in you people. We've got another chance right now. And because of what Adam and Eve did, we've got another chance to come back to God, be reconciled to God right now, because today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late.
Christ is the hope of the world, and in him glory. We surely give God thanks for all that he has done for us. How awesome! What and your life. Just look at these things, all the things that have happened to you. You have walked with God, and he has brought you a reward, the reward of knowing him.
Amen. That's right, John. Amen. To know him is the greatest blessing in this whole world. I mean, I don't care about money in this world, because I got a father that owns the whole universe.
Yes, that's right.
He said that a man that will not support his family is worse than an infidel.
Yes, he did.
Would he tell us this and not react the same way of what he's trying to tell us? Do you think for a minute that God wouldn't support his family that knew us for billions of years, we was in the minds of God and loved us before the frames of the world? He says, ask and you will freely receive. Knock and the door will be open. Mm. He's not asking us to ask because then that's going to change his mind. We can't change God's mind. His mind's already been made up millions of years ago. But he says to ask, just like he would ask for, like we would ask for our son to ask us something, instead of just taking me for granted. He wants us to ask for things. But now that we belong to God in the household of God, any more than he says that a man's an infidel if he don't take care of his family, God takes care of his family. And he runs it the way he wants to run it. He is the master. And we are to imitate him and learn from him as a little child. Unless you become as a little child, you can never enter into the kingdom of God. And the way a little child thinks, yes, is that, Daddy, Daddy, I want to learn from you. Tell me more. What about this, Daddy? What about that, Daddy? I've done this for years by getting into the scriptures. Is nothing but a rendezvous with God. And I do this sometimes all night and all day. I love him so much. I want to know so much more about my daddy. I want to learn the way he thinks. I want to learn the way he lives. I want to know, I want to walk like he walks. I want to swing my arms the way he talks, the way he swings his arms. I love him so much that I want to be identified with him. I want to imitate him in everything I do. Thanks be to Jesus Christ that I got a Father that loves me so much. I don't put my trust in no man. I put it in Jesus Christ. He says, don't put your trust in no man, but put it in me, because I will never depart from you. I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. You can always trust in me that I will always be there. And if you happen to fall, I'm there like you're my little child, and I will pick you up. You won't pick yourself up. I will pick you up. He says, Paul said, a righteous man will fall 7 times and get back up again. But Paul, I hope he realized it wasn't him getting up. It was God picking him up because he loves us so much and brushing us off and putting us in his arms and loving us. Praise be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our God. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Oh, what a hopeful talk this is, a message. It is full of hope, full of love, and oh, we're doing so well. Oh, and this is the message of God, that he loves us, that he will take care of us. The love is the big thing. There's so much hope in the gospel, and this is what we're talking about today. God loves us. There is hope. We have a hope now. We have a hope in the future, our relationship with God.
You see, John, I've had ministers that needs to get into their Bible. And they keep telling me, well, I'm going to fail. I'm going to sin.
Huh.
You know, I'm glad that God didn't lower the bar on us. God doesn't lower the bar on us. He told us, don't worry about sinning. You never have to. Once you're in me, the very gates of hell can't prevail against you. You're sealed in Christ. My brothers out there, we are sealed in Christ.
Yes.
We're protected by God.
We are.
You see? So they say that we're always going to sin and we're going to fall short. No, we won't. God didn't lower the bar on us. We can be thankful for that, but he sure lowered the bar on Christ. He did the impossible that another human being couldn't do.
No, that's right.
Only God could do what he did.
Only God.
When he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and just grew a little hungry, only God could do that. He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights and never sinned. And when Satan come up to him, he says, Satan, what have I to do with you? What is light to do with darkness? We are the light of the world because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But when the light of the world came into the world could not understand it. It could not be identified with it.
Right.
They could not comprehend it. That was during the Jewish time, and they crucified him.
And we are born again, and we live in that spirit of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen, John. That's amen.
And we just have about a half a minute left. Would you please close this program in prayer? Fred Cox, it's so wonderful to have you here. Thank you
John,
for being here.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we bow before you, Lord.
We do.
Oh, God, you are so holy. When Moses came up on the mountain, he said, Moses, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. Well, that was under the law. But now that we are in Jesus Christ, and we not only follow him, but he is in us and we are in him, we have become equally in Christ Jesus, all of us together. He's no respecter of persons. We make up his family. That makes the body of God. He was the example and demonstrator of what we have to be in order for us to get into heaven. And Jesus Christ is our purifier. We're not our purifier. Jesus Christ is. Unless we receive the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, we can never be purified on our own. We can never bring our flesh up to a height and standard it can never reach. Heavenly Father, I just praise your holy name for giving us and sending your sweet Holy Spirit in order to do a work in us that we couldn't do ourselves in ourselves. Lord, you have become a part of us, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. And we just praise you for that, Lord. I believe in you. Under the law, it was only a substance of the things that come. I mean, you is only a shadow of the things that come, excuse me. But now we have a substance, which is Christ in me. I no longer live, but you live in me. You are my life. You are everything to me. God, what can I say for a loving God that has done all these things for us? Cause us, Lord, out there, all of our brothers and everything, to begin to become grateful for all these things that you've done for us. Instead of keep asking forgiveness and going back to that beggarly element, and knowing that God has set us free from all of that. Be free and be free indeed, because he has cleansed us and washed us whiter than snow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.